Welcome back to another episode of Work in Programming. Nora, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Do you mind giving yourself like a quick introduction?
Hi, everyone. My name's Nora. I'm a front-end developer. I've only been working as a front-end developer for a bit over a year. In 2019, I went to a local bootcamp, and after graduating, I started my first job as a developer. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So what do you do at your current role?
I work at a consulting company, and my title technically is associate consultant, but I mostly do front-end development work. Mm-hmm. And my role internally will be front-end developer.
And so you guys work with clients, like you're an agency that works with external clients. Do you have to spend a lot of time like speaking to clients and like consulting in that sense, or is it more so like pure development work? Like what is the balance there?
I'd say like almost 100% development work for me personally, because we have dedicated BA teams, like business analyst team, QA mm-hmm. team, and also BSAs, who would be mostly doing the communication between the client and the dev team.
Okay. But
mostly when I get to do dev work, all the requirements and all the expectations are pretty much laid out very clear, and I just need to follow those requirements. And if there are disagreements or discrepancies, QAs or BAs will be doing their job. And I basically work with code most of the time.
What type of applications are you typically working on? Or like, you don't have to get into specifics, but style or type, is it more like marketing? Is it more like, a web application, dashboards?
Yeah, I'd say mostly web applications for financial institutions or insurance companies, kind of like that, or employee portals, client portals, something like that.
When you're starting a project, then like you're getting like a list of requirements from a BA, like do you sit down with the BAs? And like, I actually don't know how, I've never worked with like a business analyst before. So I'm wondering if you have any idea, like how do those roles break down? Like, how do they kind of play in, and how do you get to, like, what's the handoff like? And then what's like the process of getting to that point? You know what I mean?
I see. I mean, I never directly work with high level partners or something like that in a sense. So I guess what they typically do is that higher level partners would be communicating and drawing the big pictures for each individual client, as in we want to do some digital transformation of our whatever platform or whatever feature or service. The high level management team would be kind of drawing an outline for the whole project work, and we'll be creating teams and assigning roles. And then I think the BA team would be responsible for directly communicating with the client team, who also has their own BA teams, and they will lay out the requirements in full detail that are executable and write them down as GR tickets.
And then does that come with like designs and everything as well, like broken, I guess, that they've already got the design established, or do you work with designers at the
Sometimes
agency?
The designs are given by the client. Sometimes we have our own designers to come up with something that meets their requirement.
I'm just curious, like, what are your favorite parts about the job?
I think it really opens my eyes about how complicated and how many details or how much manpower needs to go into finishing a software or just a web application. Because normally when I do my own side projects, it's only like very simple, some HTML, CSS, some JavaScript, maybe a little bit of backend like Node. That's mm-hmm. I never thought that some software or web app could be so complicated. Sometimes it takes weeks to just get one feature done, and it's quite eye-opening, I suppose.
What do you think is the biggest difference there between your side project and the client work? Is it like the level of detail in the story, or is it like the type of problem you're solving? Is it like design issues that make it like more challenging?
I feel like when I'm doing side projects or personal projects, I really feel like I'm the owner of the product and I have absolute control over everything. It's different working in a corporate or in a software development team, because I feel like I'm just a sometimes insignificant role in the whole thing. Not a big deal if I'm replaced by another developer, because like at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of workers trying to contribute our own part. So it feels different. And also I don't own this product. I don't feel very emotionally attached to the code. Yeah, so that feels different as well.
Do you find developing for a client, like, are there parts of it that are as exciting as working in your own project in terms of like the ownership, or like you know, that feeling when you just have like a big win or you're like pushing hard because you just want to? Do you experience that with like client work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
yeah,
because the technology I use at work, on the front end we have Angular, and on the back end I've seen Node, I've seen some Java. Like, I personally haven't written backend code, but I get to talk to backend developers and understand their concern and how their tech stack can be impacting the whole project. And yeah, it's great to be exposed to different technologies.
Yeah, like I guess the other thing there is working with those people, you end up probably learning just by communicating, like talking with them about like how they approach a problem and like how they would structure it versus like how you would immediately assume to structure it, right? Like,
right, definitely. I mean, like a lot of the APIs that I have to deal with every day, it's just so complicated that I don't think I can personally come up with it on my own. And it's just, I'm just learning a lot by dealing with the data that backend throws.
Yeah, totally. Especially if it's like banking and things like that. Like, I imagine that there's all sorts of requirements out there. Like, I was building a banking application a couple of years ago, and it was like, we were building it on top of all these legacy APIs. And it was kind of funny, like the way that it would move. Like, if something was wrong, you just had to figure out, like, even though you know that like the authentication should not be terminating here, you just got to deal with it. And then there's like all this like strange, like, all right, just like, you know, write your own little hacks around.
Right.
I shouldn't be saying, I mean, it's not hacks, but you know, like you work with the architecture that you're given, and sometimes it doesn't seem intuitive and sometimes it genuinely isn't intuitive, or like it, you know, like, because the thing is that we're all developers, like even if you're working in like a bank, you're still like, at some point, it's being written for the first time by someone. And yeah, I mean, we all just make decisions that are, you know, make sense at the time and aren't always 100%.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, what are you trying to learn now? Like, is there anything you're doing on like the side for programming, or do you find it as like a hobby still, or do you prefer to just focus on it as work?
Recently, I've been trying to get better at building a computer science fundamentals. I've been taking online courses trying to get a basic idea of how computers work, because although it's not really directly related to my daily job, I sometimes feel that my lack of computer science knowledge is hindering me understanding how certain things work under the hood. I learned a tiny little bit of C, and that's already helping a lot. Like, I used to not understand why certain things act very weird in JavaScript, but now I think things are getting more clear with my increased knowledge in computer science. I wouldn't say I'm good at it in any way. I'm just saying that learning definitely helps, especially if you come from a bootcamp background.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, like, so it sounds like you're learning like C, and I guess like low level, like the actual like computer engineering stuff, eh? Or is it like, I'm curious, like what, when you're thinking like computer science fundamentals, like what does that entail? Because
I mean, I'm only getting started, so I can't really give guidance or advice or anything. But I'm just taking the CS50, which is a very famous open course online given by Harvard.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, they walk through the very basics of how memory works, how basic data structure and algorithms work, like how data are stored in memory, or how, like the very basic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. No, this is, so like, this is like exactly the curriculum, or like, obviously not exactly, it's Harvard's probably a lot nicer, but like a very similar like program to what we did in computer science, like at university. So it's kind of cool. It's like, I always thought, it's funny because not many people, like a lot of people are like, oh, you can learn how, like if you can learn how to build a website, then like, it's like, oh, you know, like why go to school, right? And then it's, I've always thought like, oh no, like I have to defend it. Cause like I went to university and I found that there's like a lot of like you were saying, like there's like good stuff. Like there's like low level things that you just, it's like nice to know. And I guess like how like pointers or something work in JavaScript, like you were saying, if you could understand that stuff, then you kind of have like a foundation to build on.
For sure.
I love this. Okay. I'm going to link to this in the show notes. Thank you for sharing that. Cause that's like, it's so expensive. Like, to actually go to like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, and it's the same thing most of the, like really.
I think there are free open source resources dedicated to teaching yourself computer science. If you're a developer interested in that, you can definitely find loads of resources online.
Cool. That's interesting. And so when we met, I think you were just going through Juno, right?
Right.
And so I remember you had like, you learned how to build like games and things like that. I think that's what you demoed.
Yeah, it's a very small maze game.
How did you find the boot camp?
How did I find the boot camp?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think if I know better at the time, I would probably choose to teach myself how to code at home instead of going to a boot camp. But still, I don't regret doing that because it did really help for starting my career as a developer.
Mm-hmm.
But if other people ask me, should they go to the camp? I would say try to teach yourself how to code, maybe just a little bit, and see if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then make the big investment to go to a boot camp.
That makes sense. Yeah. Do you think when you started out, like if you hadn't gone to the boot camp, would you have been able to find the resources that you would need to learn it yourself? Because like there's a lot of good tools out there. I'm curious if you think you would have.
Right. I think that all the resources you need to become a junior front-end developer is free and can be found online. That's something that I didn't know before going to the bootcamp. But I think a lot of people really do need the classroom setting and also the self-discipline. Sorry, not the self-discipline, but the supervision from others.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of this school setting for them to be productive. So going to a bootcamp will be helpful. But if you're really dedicated and you're self-disciplined, you can totally do it at home.
Did you find that the bootcamp helped when you were applying for jobs?
I think it helps in terms of kind of giving me the source of confidence that I am trained, I am kind of certified to do this. I'm ready to do this, but I don't think the credential itself helped that much. I think most employers would prefer you to have some sort of formal training in a school or university.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think like it's kind of the same thing with like getting an AWS certification or something like that. Like, you know, you can kind of go to school or like go to do a class or a course on it. It doesn't necessarily translate one-to-one. But at the same time, like I interview university graduates all the time. Not all the time, but like I've interviewed university graduates, and some would, you know, like I've interviewed university graduates and I've interviewed bootcamp grads, and it's not guaranteed that a university student has more knowledge in my experience. Like it's because university is kind of the same thing, right? You could learn all of that. Imagine spending 4 years learning how to program, like build a web applications for 4 years, as opposed to going to school and just studying, like, you know, calculus and statistics and physics and astronomy and psychology, and you're like, well, how does any of that really affect your ability to program? I think there's other benefits, and I think people who say that like university is pointless are kind of full of it. I think that's just like a nice like hot take to have, but it's not really, you know, it's like proven that a university degree is like the most effective thing you can do to get out of poverty, for instance, right? Like if you want to transition a generation or whatever, like university has so much to give, and then it's like people just undercredit it because like, yeah, if you know, if you're, I'm sure like Elon Musk or someone would be able to have been successful without a university degree, but that doesn't mean that like everyone in the world is going to be able to just like, I think like having education helps people, even like you were saying, it's just with confidence, you know, like you kind of need a boost sometimes to get right to what you want to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a, I don't know, tirade. Sorry. I like don't talk much normally on the podcast. So it's funny listening, like whenever I'm trying to think of something to say, I'm like, oh, I don't actually talk on this thing. So I hope it's not, I hope it doesn't come across like I ramble a lot. So
no, appreciate the input as someone who has never been in a computer science program. I'm sure it's helpful. You probably just don't realize how it's been helping you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's another benefit of like just being surrounded by like nerds who are also into that too, right? It's like, we're all like, we would all like hang out and build like computer games in our dorm room because we had nothing else to do. You know, I think I learned more doing that and like going to hackathons than I did necessarily in, like there was definitely classes that taught me a lot, but like, you know, I learned how to build a mobile app at a hackathon, not at school. And then I did a class on Android at school, and it was like, oh, this is not at all how I built that app before. But you know, it's like I might have done it wrong, but I somehow managed to do it right. I feel like anyone who, do you find, like, does your company hire a lot of junior engineers?
I don't think so. I think I got really lucky to be hired at the time. I mean, most of our new hires or junior hires are from Waterloo or Queens or something like that. Yeah, I think I'm probably the only bootcampers that they hired. I'm not sure.
Do you think that there's like, when you're working with, let's say like Waterloo grads is one thing. I mean, you could even just say like Waterloo grads and then other students, I guess. but like, have you found that there's actually that much of a difference?
I don't think so, because I think having a CS degree or being trained formally in CS doesn't make you a better programmer per se. Because I've been working with a few co-op students. Sometimes they turn to me for guidance or knowledge, and it kind of makes me feel weird at first. But I got used to it. It's really not about how much you know. It's how much experience you have in the industry, I guess.
Yeah, which I think, you know, how much experience you have is also probably pretty correlated to like how much you actually know.
Right.
Because I could memorize coding interview questions or something for weeks and not be a better developer for it. If you're like, I mean, the fact that people are asking you questions and you're able to answer that question based on your experience means you've learned that thing and then some. Like, you've learned the context over the course of a year and a bit. And like, that's like, work experience is just always more valuable at the end of the day, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I hope so.
Oh yeah. It sounds like you're feeling fine. I wouldn't be worried.
Yeah, but I think one thing I'm sure that most bootcampers are better at is CSS, because most people I see just struggle with it. I don't understand. I don't find CSS particularly annoying or hard. Mm-hmm. It's just a bit different from other languages. Some people argue that it's not a programming language. So I guess that's why some people can't process it very well. And I learned CSS very well in my bootcamp. So sometimes I'm the CSS person on my team. It's kind of funny because I'm starting to dislike doing CSS for the same reason.
Oh, because it's just you just have to do it so much, and you're just
Sometimes it's really trivial, like this should be 2 pixels instead of 4 pixels, something like that. But sometimes it can be fun and really challenging and as well.
Yeah, I've always found that like I don't like sitting down and styling something, but then once I have like if I had to like design it from scratch, I always get like anxious and I don't want to do it, and I'll want to like just use some boilerplate. But then if I'm given a design and then I'm like implementing the design, I kind of like find it fun to just be like, oh, why is this off 2 pixels? What would be a better way of structuring this to like, you know, get the alignment right? But at the same time, I have to say, like, I'm still doing front end and I would not call myself like good at CSS, you know, like I do it out of necessity, but I've never like considered myself good at it. Like I think it's a program. I mean, whatever, like people, it's programming the browser. How did you learn it? Did you learn it from like, I feel like you probably learned more like a foundational, like structured way, right?
Yeah, I think in our bootcamp, I mean, the bootcamp I went to is really heavy on the HTML and CSS part. I think I can just recall all the display flex methods in my dream. But yeah, I think I went through a lot of CSS practice during bootcamp, and it was a really good practice. And I get to do it a lot in my daily job, and also in my team. There's a CSS expert who is really, really good at CSS, and it's probably the only thing he's been doing for years. I've definitely learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I guess like if you learn, because you guys learn HTML and CSS first, right? And then did like the more JavaScript-y stuff after?
Yep.
That's cool. Yeah, because I think like web developers coming in, university students coming into web, I imagine almost always come in through some sort of framework. Like I remember I got started doing like Bootstrap, which is not really like crazy, but like, you know, it's got JavaScript parts to it, and you kind of just use all of their components. And then when you want to make a change, there's like you dig into like that, right? And it's always a problem with the framework. It's never your fault, you know, which I feel like kind of ends up being like the mindset where you memorize framework or whatever you're using, and then you change jobs and you don't exactly know how CSS under the hood works, because you're kind of like focused on what you think, or like what you end up focused on what you think is like the more impressive piece of the application. But really it's just, you know what I mean? Like doing the stuff that looks cool or sounds complicated doesn't necessarily like produce the same results or more results. I guess focusing on that bit is kind of like, it's like pride or something. And then it makes you like lack on that piece of knowledge, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned, okay, so the guy that's really good at CSS, like what does he do differently when he starts than like a new grad that is getting started either as a co-op student and learning? How would you contrast his like approach to debugging a CSS issue versus theirs? And also how would you, I really wanted you to say versus your own, but I feel like that's a bigger contrast. Like how would you and this guy and a student solve it differently?
So when I joined this team, the whole CSS framework is pretty much laid out already. So I'm not sure if he single-handedly created this framework, but he basically just divided our whole project into different sections or different pages, which is a very standard industry practice. You have different partials, I think, for different divisions of your project. But he also uses SAS very extensively and created a lot of functions and utility helper kind of stuff in the base or in the global partial, and uses that a lot in the individual SAS partials. Mm-hmm. So because our HTML, we're using this is getting complicated. So basically we have two repos. One is a framework or a component library, where most of the components are already written and only a few APIs are exposed for developers to use. And all you need to do is in your actual client facing repo, you use the APIs that are exposed from the library to code the components. You don't actually write Angular components. You just write JSON files to configure the components that we already write in the library repo, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's not like a design system where you're importing components, because I'm coming from React, where we're like importing, like we have like a design system library that we like import components from and then use. But we're still building like a React application at the end of the day. So when you have that client facing project, is it still an Angular app? It just passes config in, or are you just writing? How does it actually translate between the two? Like what does that client facing app look like? I'm curious.
Both are Angular projects, but I think the client facing one is very, we're trying to increase the reusability of every single line that we write. So if it's something that we can probably use for other projects or for other clients, we move it to the library repo. And so in the client repo, we write only stuff that are only relevant to that client or particular to that client only. So a lot of my work will be probably just figuring out what components I need on which page and giving them individual CSS classes. Yeah, all the behaviors are pretty much written in the library already. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just jumping back and forth between client and library.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like an interesting setup. It makes sense. Like I guess you use this on multiple projects to like have a baseline, and then you just customize like a theme or something for each client to like have the design.
Right. System. Yeah. So going back to the CSS topic. So basically so class names is one of the API attributes that are exposed to the front end. Mm-hmm. So we just need to configure the customized CSS in the client project. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. So it sounds like there's a lot of like reuse and utilities and like building up, I guess, instead of writing it in like a single file, like breaking it out into logical pieces. And then there's also like that whole piece around, like I'm guessing, like just to say like what's different from like a standard project is like you've got this whole framework set up, I mm-hmm. guess, which is it's cool for like, it's cool like productivity piece, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot faster than writing everything from scratch.
Do you have any like advice that you would give to people who are trying to get started, whether they've done a bootcamp or not, and they want to get into programming right now?
I think just be confident, keep learning, keep building stuff until you land a job, I guess. I mean, I definitely don't do as much programming thing outside work.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I need to improve in 2021. I think my general advice for bootcamp grads or people who are trying to transition to development would be just don't stop learning. And prove to potential employers that you can do whatever the job requires. Yeah, I don't think it's as hard as I expected.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's like just assume that you can do it because they probably can, right?
Right. And you can probably even do it better than CS grads, because I get that question a lot, like how do you compete with CS grads or... Yeah, something like that. And I would say just don't worry about it. You can probably do even better.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. And like, you can even focus on like the skills or advantages, like whatever you're uniquely good at, like just focus on that. And then it's not even a competition, right? Because it's like, you've been building web applications for the last, you know, year or whatever, and you've gotten really, really good at CSS. Like most grads, like you said, aren't going to be able to say that.
Yeah. And also I think programming isn't the only thing that you do as a developer. A lot of the skills that are required are transferable. Like communication is very important. Mm-hmm. Like being a good communicator is sometimes even better than better at being someone who's really good at writing code but very bad at explaining things. Yeah. So if your technical skills are a bit lacking, it's okay. You can always learn on the job, but it's more important to be a good communicator and be willing to learn, I think.
Did you have anything else you wanted to like, do you think there's anything else that you would want to talk about?
I think I'm good.
It was kind of cool to chat.
For sure. Nice to catch up.